Blog Talk Radio. Let my heart want for nothing. Only canvas. So it's up to you to paint the masterpiece. And even when they say they can't stand us, it's on us to let the chips fall naturally. Let them fall, let them trickle by the wayside. Years later, we're pulling up in the same ride. No stress, let the mess roll off your shoulders. Everybody laying low, cause we're getting older, older. Positive vibes in the air now. It's over, my people letting their hair down. No games and no time for stare downs. Feeling good, just letting the music blare now.
Okay, well, let's get into the message. Okay, it's all love. God is all about relationship. The Christian life is meant to be marked by simplicity. Jesus summed up our purpose with two statements, love God and love people. But in our humanity, we have made complex what God designed to be peaceful, purposeful, and simple. A.W. Tozer remarks in The Pursuit of God, every age has its own characteristics. Right now, we are in an age of religious complexity. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. It is instead our programs, methods, organizations, and a world of nervous activities which occupy time and attention but can never satisfy the longing of the heart. The shallowness of our inner experience, the hollowness of our worship, and the surreal imitation of the world, which marks our promotional methods, all testify that we, in this day, know God only imperfectly, and in peace of God scarcely at all. If we would find God amid all religious externals, we must first determine to find him, and then proceed in the way of simplicity. So may we discover the peace and joy that come from pursuing a simple Christianity this week. The world is an exhausted place. We search constantly for what should be most important or what deserves our attention from moment to moment. As the tides of societal values ebb and flow, so do our affections. We invest value and love into which offers us nothing in return. And unfortunately, the cares of this world have creeped into the people of God. Our gatherings are marked by complicity and exhaustion. With programs, goals, and achievements, we make it complex what God intended to be so blessed and simple. We give our attention and energy and love to that which is always rooted in simply loving God. When Jesus asked to highlight the most important commandment of all in Scripture, Jesus responded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment." Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. All Christianity boils down to this one pursuit. And because we are to pursue loving God in all we do, all life boils down to a single pursuit. Every single thing we do, whether it involves work, family, friends, church, entertainment, school, or solitude, is meant to be marked by the simplicity of loving God. At the end of our days, we love our Heavenly Father will matter most. Our love for God matters more than any achievements or success or program. It matters more than any possession, status, or relationship. And when we align our perspective with the first and greatest commandment, everything else comes into focus. When we pursue loving God above all else, all other pursuits fall into the proper places. We were not created to offer our affections to anyone or anything but God first and foremost. To do otherwise is simply idolatry and will ruin the heavenly peace and simplicity God intends for his children. We create our own golden calves and ask them to satisfy us in ways that only God can. We look to the world to offer us love and never had to begin with. But your Heavenly Father is a wellspring of love and affection for you. The common quoted verse in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." See, you will never be satisfied until you rest in the powerful, simple truth of Scripture, that God has loved you and always will love you. And you will never experience the fullness of what Christ died to give you until you respond to his ceaseless love by crowning him Lord and loving him with every fiber of your being. May you come to realize the beauty and fulfillment of life lived in pursuit of God above all else as you spend time in prayer. Meditate on the first and greatest commandment. Allow Scripture to be your foundation for truth and love, the truth and the life. Reflect on your own life. What pursuits have become more important than loving God? What are you giving energy and affection to above relationship with your Heavenly Father? What areas of your life are not being done as worship? John 17, verses 24 to 26. Father, I desire that they also whom have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you and these know that you have sent me. And I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love of which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So confess your pursuits and receive God's loving forgiveness. Crown him as Lord of your heart and life and ask him to help you respond to his love with your own. Ask the Spirit to help you do all that is set before you as you worship to your King. Take time to give him your affections now. Worship him, thank him, love him, offer him the deepest places of your heart. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." You were created for worship, and until all that you do is done as worship to God, you will not experience the fullness of peace, joy, and purpose available to you through Christ. Rest, fun, work, friends, family, and church are all to be filled with the joy of loving God and being loved by him. He is the God of fun, parties, rest, and love. He has the absolute most abundant and joyful life in store for you. If you simply love him first and foremost, may you experience a deeper relationship with your Heavenly Father today and love him as he has loved you. I highly suggest you read Matthew chapter 22. It'll bring this devotional more into light. Amen. Now let's get into the most important question of all. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay. You will get a chance to in just a moment. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and never knowing which way to go? which way is up or down. Or maybe you lack purpose in life and you need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, as addiction to drugs or alcohol, sexual morality, gambling, overeating. Whatever the problem may be, see, the Lord can take it away. But in order for him to do so, he's got to know you. So the question tonight is, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gracefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry want to welcome you to the family of God. And we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And also, if you said that prayer, we would like you to call in area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. And that way you will let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Amen. And because right now the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, okay, and all the people in heaven are rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Okay? So, let us rejoice with them. Amen? All right. Okay, let's see what's going on here. Okay. We got some callers. Let's see, let's take 843 first. He's been here waiting the longest.
Hello.
Hello, 843.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's good to hear.
I'm not sure what I should be talking about, but the debate is on tonight, but I'm not going to watch it. I just want to say I'm calling in.
I'm listening.
Yeah, I got nothing else to say except the show's doing good, but yeah, I got nothing.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Sit back and listen to the show and listen to other people. Amen. All right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. 269 is next.
Hello, this is
Cassidy.
Now, I received an email from, I believe it was you, and you said that you wanted Abba's Home and God's Rainbow Ministries to come together in some form of a truce.
I said that a long time ago, and I keep saying it.
Well, I'm very glad about that, and I believe Pastor Kent is actually calling in tonight. And hopefully he actually does call in and, you know, reaches out to you and we can come to some sort of truce because this has been going on far too long. You know, we've been.
Okay. Somehow we must got disconnected. Okay. Well, see, nobody else is calling in, okay, or pressing the 1 key, okay, so, Oh, 111, press the 1 key. Hello, 111.
Hello. Kenny.
Hello, Pastor Kent.
How are you, my son?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I believe I am more blessed and more favored. What
okay,
do you think, Kenny?
That's good.
Kenny, I called because I want to accept your apology. Go ahead.
Apologize for what, Pastor Ken? What did I do?
Kenny, you called into my show and offended me and my listeners.
I never called your show, and I haven't listened to your show.
And my flock.
I've never called
Kenny,
your show. Never called your show.
Well, you have sent your henchmen like
no,
Johnny Federlong.
No, I haven't listened to your show, Pastor Kent. Okay, that's a lie.
Okay.
I really don't care if you have a show, Pastor Kent. Okay? You can have a show as long as you want. Okay? It doesn't bother me.
Let me ask you this then, Kenny. Does Johnny Federlong work for you?
No.
Let me cross him off the list. Does Son of a Gib work for you?
No.
Okay. Does Fat Charlie work for you?
No. I got nobody working for me.
Does Mr. Sparkles work for you?
No. No.
Does Kid Kat work for you?
No.
Does Tommy Monaghan, the hitman, work for you?
No.
Does DCT work for you?
No. Nobody works for me, Kent. Period. Nobody.
Does Grover Washington work for you?
No.
Does Brett the Hitman Hart work for you?
No. Brett the Hitman Hart, no.
Does Ashley work for you?
No.
Does Bogart work for you?
No.
What about Dr. Jabo? Does he work for you?
No.
What about Dr. Peter Ventura?
No. Nobody works for me. Nobody.
What about Marcus?
No.
Does Madeline Mitten work for you?
No.
Does Jessica White work for you?
No.
Does Tom from the Alibi work for you?
No.
Does Juan from Alabama work for you?
No.
Does Michael Miles Dougie work for you?
No.
Does being crazy work for you?
No.
What about Spencer Rice?
No. Never heard of Spencer in a long time.
What about Doug's golden retriever?
Huh? Who?
Dougie's dog.
No.
What about that animal that called in my show, Domingue the horse? Does he work for you?
No.
What about someone that called my show named Nick Saban? Does he work for you?
No.
What about Tabitha?
No.
Does she work for you?
No. Nobody works for me, Kent. Nobody.
What about Jimmy Hutchinson? Well, they're either legitimate members of my flock or they're undercover for you. What about someone was in my chat room and they donated money by the name of Disco Dan Garza?
Don't know.
What about Sylvia Fiorova? Does she work for you?
Who?
Someone that donated. Sylvia Fiorova.
She's dead. She didn't donate anything.
What about Marcus Marco?
Let's bring on another 111 caller.
Hey, 111. Dog. This is Doug. How are you? How are you, Pastor Kent?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. I wanted to thank you for being there. I've had some problems in the past. I wanted to ask, how do you know God loves me?
God loves everybody. God loves everybody. He doesn't look down upon anybody badly. He loves y'all.
He even loves me and the trolls.
Yep, he loves you.
Pastor Veal Chop. What about him?
He loves everybody. God loves everybody.
That's good. I just wanted to say that this message is for Tony Farrar. I've really been enjoying our Skype call, Tony, and I hope you can spread your cheeks for me again.
Okay.
I'm not seeing your balls.
Okay, that's enough. Goodbye. All right. Okay. All right. Take another 111 caller.
Hello and good evening. This is Mike Hunt calling in.
How you doing, Mike?
Oh, not too bad. I have two poems tonight. The first one is a quick one from me. The second one is from a friend of the show that asked me to share. Here's the first one. Doug should be ashamed for what he did to Veal. When you go to jail, you will have to bend over and kneel. Your cellmate will beat you, and fuck you, that's for real. Although you'll probably like the way that'll feel. Your butt will be sore, but soon it will heal. But for now, it will be painful, and Doug will squeal. While you're in jail, Mad Mark will enjoy a nice meal. Stop telling people to kill themselves. That's the deal. This has been a Douglas Sidney Kossoff update. Now I have one more poem that was written by a friend of the show I've been asked to read. This piece is for Doug, the man that's a slug. The poor guy is a midget with a dick too small to fidget. The little man, gay and drunk, on his knees, face covered in spunk. When Ken catches a bad attitude, they bring on Doug to make comments so crude. Doug yells and swears, being so rude. Mad he's not with Tony F. in the nude. Farrar is a notorious gay sex offender, has Doug prepare his ass to surrender. With Ken's lewd proposition, Doug assumes the position and takes it down from a man confused by his gender. Doug's father, Bogart, with his accomplishments, he is sad by his son's many disappointments. Mike Hunt, a scholar and a poet, makes rhymes about Doug being a baby. Jesco, a man of opinion, sees Doug as Ken's little minion. Pastor Veal, a man of great stature, did a prayer for Doug, a cock catcher. Ashley, the woman of great terror, laughs as Doug gets plowed by the male dress wearer. Turd McGillicuddy spams the chat to make clear Doug is a bald, crippled midget, lazy-eyed queer. Doug, you can't rhyme, you sound like a fool. He is a real poet's tool. So now next time you're feeling froggy, step up to jump. Don't cry when I make you look like a chump. And that was submitted by a good friend of the show. Thank you. This has been a Douglas Sidney Kossoff update. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening. Thank you. God bless, Mike. All right. We got another 111 caller. Okay, you got another 111 caller.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Davis. How are you, Pastor Ken?
I'm doing great, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored tonight. Thanks for asking. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is your favorite color?
Purple.
Is it because it's the color of royalty, a.k.a. God?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I like it.
Well, that's why I like it, too. But it's also all over the place at Pegasus in downtown San Antonio, which is where I'm calling from, actually, right now. And we're having a really fun bash at Pegasus. And I just wanted to ask where Tony Farrar was. He came down there a few days ago dressed in his best, and, you know, he went upstairs and did some really saucy things to the dancers. It was great. He spread me wide open and sucked my juices out, and it was so godly. I felt so blessed and highly favored by it. Do you have an open relationship by any chance?
No.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was cheating on you like that. But
he's not, because he was here last night.
Well, he's been there in the past for sure. And
he's been there in the past. Yeah, so have I.
Yeah, and he's definitely had some intercourse with the people on the dance floor there.
No.
He takes private rooms.
No.
He totally has, though. I know this for a fact. Tony F. is the cinnamon goddess with the big tits. It's really, he's so good at it. He's so good at the sucking motion, you know? It's so lively. And it just fills me with joy. It makes me more Christian. And I love when he recited the Bible verse to me after I finished. Oh, that's what I want in a man.
Okay, well, thank you, Jeffrey. God bless. Okay.
God bless you.
All right. We got another 111 caller.
Banjo, 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 banjo.
111 caller. Okay, I don't know. All right. All right. Well, let's play some more music here. Okay, we took all the callers. Okay. Oh, 619. Oh, let's grab that one.
Good evening, Dr.
You're
Fishman.
On
this is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura.
Hey,
Dr.
Hey,
Fishman. Good
Dr.
evening. I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. I have been traveling the country. I was really offended by a phone call that was that I just heard a while ago, and I just wanted to call in and say that I do not work for anybody but the Lord. And this is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura, and I approve this message.
Amen.
Now, I wanted to touch on a lot of things, and one of them being that we're all God's creatures, and that that we're here to help people in all ways that we can. We are men of the cloth, and we will offer our services. And people need to understand that we've made mistakes previously. And regardless of what's in your past, and regardless of what's in my past, I have been very open about it, as have you, Dr. Fishman.
Yeah.
So they cannot continue to judge us for that. Only God can judge us. I continue to sometimes be tempted to travel down the wrong path. To this day, I still sharpen blades every now and then. You know, just for the good old times, if you will. In case I do decide to go a different path or the wrong path, I have them ready. I have a thing for blades. I have a thing for knives. I have a thing for teenage necks. That was my downfall. That was my cross to bear. Still is. I see a young, good-looking girl with a neck. I'm tempted to grab one of my knives and put it to her. The knife and my genitalia. So that's but I should not be judged for that, because I do not act upon that. I do not give into temptation. I do not go into wooded areas when I don't have to. I do not take those girls and put a knife to their neck and take them into wooded areas. But
that's good.
Like I said,
I'm glad you don't do that anymore.
Well, I'm glad I don't do that anymore, but you know, it's kind of the way I see it, it's okay to rub the car but not to check the oil. And that's the way I feel about women. This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura, and I approve this message.
Amen.
I also wanted to say that just to prove that I am not the man that I used to be, I am starting continuing, and I'm very successful at it right now, and I'm trying to get more members. I have what's called the Dr. Peter Paul Ventura Babysitters Club, and right now I have 13 young girls working for me, and we plan to double in numbers as the COVID-19 diminishes. We will get people back to work. And I think we will be able to grow our business.
Yeah, I think you will be able to as well, yeah.
But just in case, we will keep our blades sharpened.
Uh-huh.
By that, I mean we will be on point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Anyway, I just wanted to call and tell you that I support you, and I've also been I've been like I said, traveling the country, doing the Lord's work, and I've also called into different shows and showing my support. But it's always good to hear from you, Dr. Fishman. And I just wanted you to know that, and I think you should be on a regular basis, more often than not. I really like hearing your voice. You're an inspiration to us, to myself. And I think some one way or another, people that have found you have found me as well.
Amen.
Listeners that I've chatted with on your show here have reached out to me, and I've been able to counsel them, and some of the voices are familiar, and some of them even heard me on your radio show, and they reached out to me, and I've been able to help them in more ways than one. And I do wish you had more females call into your show. I'd love to deal with them. But the one that sticks out the most is Douglas. He is my project, if you will. He is my project. I take that very personally, because he was a mess when we found him, continues to be a mess, but we've helped him so much. The way I feel for Knives and X, he felt for little boys and little girls at one point, younger, adolescents, younger than the ages of 12. And that is sickening, because at least what I've done was allowed back in the day. 30 years ago, it was acceptable for a 24-year-old to date a 16-year-old, as I've done. But the fact that Douglas is no longer tempted by children, you'd think was good news, but that whole, Dr. Fishman, when you were so wrongfully accused of being involved with a raccoon, that was indeed Brother Douglas that was involved with that. He did start with gerbils and moved on to raccoons in his rectum. And he has confessed that to me. And that whole story about the raccoon named Banjo, that was actually the raccoon that that Doug was involved with.
Oh.
And I don't know why he took it upon himself to say that raccoon was in your privates, when it was him indeed. So this is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura, and once again I'd like to say that Raccoon Lives Matters. May Banjo rest in peace. He was a good raccoon. He loved raccoon. And the bad part is that he left the family behind, a litter of raccoons, and they are now with Doug. And I fear for their lives.
Amen.
I fear for them. So, again, raccoons' lives should matter. If black lives matter, raccoons' lives should matter also.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura, and I approve this message.
Amen. God bless you back, Dr. Peter. All right.
God bless you. I'm going to mute myself if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, my brother.
Thank you.
All right. I'll take the next caller. Okay. 111, you're on the air.
Hello.
111, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Mississippi Mike. How are you?
All right, Mississippi Mike. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm actually studying to be a pastor right now. I've been studying out in Orange County, California for about the past, give or take, month or two. And I've been away from my family doing it too. And I got to ask you, what was your favorite part about becoming a certified pastor?
Well, I was ordained It was just a great feeling, okay, to be ordained, okay? It was an accomplishment, okay? And,
well, amen to that. And what was your ordination ceremony like, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it was just they laid hands on me, okay, and ordained me. There wasn't nothing really overly over the top. You know, it was just a laying of hands, okay, giving a blessing, stuff like that.
Amen. And I'm doing it online right now. I'm doing it online, getting ordained online. And I was told you got ordained online too. So they do the in-person stuff even if you do it online too?
Well, when you do online, okay, I think it's a little different. Okay, I don't think they lay hands on you.
But you... Tony Ferrara a few weeks ago said that you got ordained via online services like I am doing right now. So you actually went in person?
Well, yeah, I went in person, okay, to get my ordination, okay? Okay, I went to school online.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. So I'm doing an online school, and so in person, they would do it for me even if I was taking an online school. It wouldn't be just like, oh, you're ordained now, print out your degree type stuff.
Yeah, they would do that. They would ordain you, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You can go to school online and you can then go to the place you're going to school from and get laid the hands on and get blessed and be ordained.
Well, you just told me. I'm just a bit confused. You just told me that wasn't going to happen. See, I'm just trying to get some advice from another pastor here. I'm not a pastor yet. I'm working on it. But I'm just trying to figure things out.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Well, thank you very much. And I just have... One more question for you, and that question involves the relationship between man and man, and I know you're a homosexual or bisexual, and in the Bible it talks things saying about that, saying that it's ungodly, and I don't know what to believe in it. My teachers are telling me that it's ungodly, especially if someone is presenting as a woman. But they're actually a man. And how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, the way I look at it like this, okay, we're all God's children, okay? We're all God's children, okay? And he loves us no matter what, okay? Okay, so, you know, that's how I feel about it, okay?
Is there any Bible verse that supports homosexual marriage? Like any verse I can read? Because I want to prove to these teachers that I support the LGBT community fully, and I have to write a dissertation on it online, of course. And I need to. I'm studying the Bible right now, but perhaps you, an esteemed pastor, know a Bible verse that talks about that.
Well, there's plenty of Bible verses that talks about homosexuality, but it's not in a good light.
Oh, so I can't find anything in the Bible, God's Word, that supports homosexual marriages?
No.
I'll just have to make that argument like I'm God myself.
you know, speaking out of the word or something to that degree?
You have to basically give your opinion, okay, on why it should be allowed.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do for my papers, I'm going to say there are circumstances where a man has to lie down with another man. Like if man is in prison and he's at risk of getting beat, or man isn't making that much money and he needs to go move in with another man to sort of, you know, split the rent. I grew up in a poverty-stricken neighborhood. And if I had an out to go, you know, live in a nice house with another man, but I had to, you know, take a chubby every once in a while, I'd consider it, not going to lie.
Yeah. Can I just real quick say something? You do realize, and just in case you didn't know, as of yesterday, the Pope has condoned gay marriage.
Well, I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Protestant. The Pope doesn't really matter to me. And like I said, I support homosexual marriage. I'm just curious because I'm writing this paper right now. And I'm trying to find specific examples in the Bible, or else they'll say that I'm speaking. There's a word for it, in absentia, because I'm speaking out of the Bible. It's anathema.
Yeah, well, there's nothing really in the Bible that supports it.
All right, now I'll just use my example, I guess, then of two men living together because one's not making money. Perhaps he's on disability after smacking his knee on the side of a helicopter or something intentionally to get out of the army. I don't know, some ideas like that. I think I'll go with that one. But I wish you well tonight. God bless, and I hope your situation does get better. Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mississippi Mike. Okay. Well, I'm going to get ready to do the prophetic word for the day. Okay. So let's get into it. Okay. The Bible says today, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Anything that is not good or not perfect doesn't come from me. There is no need to ask. God, is that you? Because only the good and only the perfect comes from my hand, and all else is of the enemy. Men have confused this truth with their religious thinking. They have accused me of giving cancer. They have accused me of bringing loss, devastation, and suffering. That is a lie, says God, and it originates in the father of lies. It does not matter how cheerfully they espouse their deep truth. They have no truth in them. They have believed a lie. I am a good God. I don't give you anything that does not originate in heaven. There is no defilement in heaven. There is no poverty in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no heartbreak in heaven. There are no classes in heaven where I cause men to experience hardship because I am teaching them something. Did I not say that you should pray as in heaven, so on earth? Why would I then reach into the bowels of hell to put you through hell to allegedly make you more like me? Turn away from these false notions, says God. Accept the truth of my grace and my goodness that will never put on you what the cross took off of you. I was bruised so that you would be healed. I was smitten so that you would be protected. The blows that were directed at you landed upon me. You are free. You are protected. You are provisioned by my hand to overcome and to get through every situation. With your testimony of my faithfulness intact, says God. So rejoice in my goodness and no longer accept the ghastly false teachings of the enlightened men who malign my nature with the wrong ideas and wrong notions. Amen. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. All righty, well, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. God bless. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. So, anyway, I love you all. Good night.